大陆思想上对教会的挑战。This workshop deals with the intellectual challenge from mainland China for the church. 好，那这个是一个护教的讲座。This is an apologetics workshop. 啊，那护教学呢，不是华人教会常常注重的一门啊、一门学问哈、啊，或者一个功课。Apologetics is a field of study that has been pretty much ignored or neglected by the Chinese Church. 通常我们想到护教，我们主要是想到科学正道。When we think of apologetics, the first thing we think about might be science and the Christian faith. 意思就是说，拿一些证据出来为这个基督教的信仰作为辩护。That is to say, the providing of proofs or evidences for the Christian faith. 这个是护教学的一部分。That's part of apologetics. 可是那个不是护教的全部。But that is not the total sum of apologetics. 我们这样说好了。Let me present it this way. 一个非信徒 ,a non-Christian, 是一个人 ,is a person.这个人呢，有他的宇宙人生观。This person has his world and life view, 宇宙人生观。那宇宙人生观呢，也可以说是他的预设。We can call this his presuppositions. 那这个预设里面包括一个人对宇宙的哪里来，真理是什么，啊，这些问题的答案。The worldview or the presupposition.Includes a person's answer to questions like where does the universe come from and what is the meaning of life. 那是因为一个人有这些的预设 because of these presuppositions, 人呢有一些的信念 a person has convictions. 那比方说他认为基督教是帝国主义的工具 For example, a conviction may be that Christianity is the tool of imperialism. 这个是一个中国知识分子很普遍有的一个信念 It's a very common conviction of mainland Chinese intellectuals 可是这个信念的背后有它的预设 You see, but behind convictions are presuppositions 预设就是它的宇宙人生观、That is to say, the world and life view of a person 那在这个信念的层面呢，常常我们信徒与非信徒会有很多的争辩。It is at the level of convictions that the Christian and the non-Christian has all kinds of arguments or debate. 可是只要我们了解一个人背后的宇宙人生观的话 ，But if we understand the world and life view behind the convictions, 那我们的护教的任务呢就很清楚 Then the task of apologetics becomes very clear 护教有两个任务 Apologetics has a twofold task 第一是正面的 First is positive 第二是负面的 Second negative 正面呢是宣讲真理 Positively apologetics proclaims the truth of the Bible 负面的是要揭露一个非信徒的宇宙人生观 The negative task is to expose the non-Christian presuppositions 我举一个例 Let me give you an example 比方说一个基督徒呢一个基督徒他有两个信念或者两个预设的两部分 For example, a Christian has two basic presuppositions 第一人是有限的 Man is limited人的理性是有限的 Man's reason is limited 可是呢另外一个预设呢 But the second part of the presupposition 或者说这个预设另外一边呢就是说人可以知道 Man can know is the second half Okay, 人可以认识真理 Man can know the truth 人可以认识神 Man canKnow God 那这句话现在在二十一世纪讲不简单的哈 This is not a simple statement we take for granted in the 21st century 因为在二十一世纪后现代的解构主义里面 in the postmodern philosophy of deconstructionism, 结构主义说呢, 一本书哈, it says that a book, 一个文本, 这本书的作者是不存在的, the author does not exist, 意思就是说你不可以去找到那个作者原来的意思, you cannot find the original meaning or intention of the author. 这本书也不存在, the text does not exist, 因为这本书是什么东西呢? What is the book? 书的文本是什么呢? 文本是你读进去什么意思是什么, 就是什么? The text is the interpretation, 没有事实, no fact, 只有 只有解释, only interpretation. 这些都是最热门现在讲的一些的题目, this is the most fashionable philosophy today. 第三, 读者也没有, the reader does not exist, 我不存在, 我在解释这个文本的时候, when I interpret the text, 我是这个一群解释群体的一部分而已, I am only a part, a member of the interpretative community, the hermeneutic community. 意思就是说呢, 是现今的社会, in other words, the contemporary society 在解释一本书的意义, interpreting the meaning of the text, 而这个解释本身就是那个文本, the interpretation itself is the text. 这本书不存在, the book does not exist, 这个作者也不存在, the author does not exist, and I don't exist, 我也不存在. 那当然不是说我这个人不存在, 乃是说呢, 我没有可能知道这本书的意义。 In other words, I cannot know what the text means. 那现在暂时讲到这里, 哈, 后现代的, 结构主义, we will say so much just for now on deconstructionism. 基督徒相信, Christians believe, 理性是有限的, reason is limited. 这个也是后现代的结构主义要告诉我们的。 Deconstructionism wants to tell us that, 不过我们老早就知道了, but Christians, any true Christian knows this from the very beginning of the faith. 可是我们基督徒的信念另外一边, however, the other side of the Christian presupposition 是我能知道, I can know, 我能知道真理, I can know the truth, 我能知道神, I can know God, 因为有一个神, because God exists, 神是无所不知的, God knows everything, 神无所不知所知道的都是透知的, all that God knows, God knows everything about that. 意思就是说神是无所不知神所知神都透知, God knows everything, and God knows everything that there is to know about everything that there is to know. Okay? 而神所透知的万物里面, 他选择了去启示一部分给人类, and out of the everything that God knows about everything that God knows, He has chosen to reveal a part of mankind. 既然神在永恒里面已经选择了在他的永恒旨意里面去启示, since God has chosen in His eternal plan or decree to reveal Himself, 因此人有这个可能去知道, therefore man can know, 可以有把握的知道, man can certainly, assuredly know, 人可以清楚的知道, man can clearly know, 人所知道都是有限的, man knows only in a limited way, 人所知道任何事情都是有限的知道, man, of all things that man knows in a limited way, 可是他是清楚的有把握的知道, 可以, 啊, 按照神的旨意, 回应神的旨意, 啊, 神的启示, but as we respond properly to God's revelation, we can know clearly and certainly. 好, 那这两个呢是基督徒的预设, 啊, these two are God's the Christian's presupposition. 好了, 非基督徒呢, non-Christians, 他们也有他们的预设, 虽然有的时候呢他们呢不很清楚地意识到他们的预设是什么东西, sometimes a non-Christian is not very conscious of what it is that he or she presupposes. 比方说, 举个例子, 他会预设, a non-Christian may presuppose that 人就是 真理的准则, man is the norm of truth. 人是真理的绝对的准则, man is the absolute norm of truth. 那这个呢, 在现代, 的哲学里面, 用不同的形式表现, this is manifested in different ways in modern philosophy. 比方说理性主义17世纪的 Rationalism 17th century 人的理性来判断神的启示是不是合乎理性。 Man's reason determines or judges whether or not the revelation from God is reasonable。 18世纪的经验主义 Empiricism 18th century 人的五官科学实验。 Man's sense perception and experimentation and the sense data that he perceives and conceives， 这些是真理的准则。 These are the norm of truth。 19世纪 19th century 人的主观的感觉 Man's subjectivity 成为了真理的准则 becomes the norm of truth 等等、and etc。 好，不过呢，一个人说明了他是万物真理的准则之同时， But at the same time that man takes himself as the absolute norm of truth， 人也同时承认Man at the same time acknowledges 真理呢是相对的 That truth is relative、人也是相对的 Man is relative 人不是绝对的 Man is not absolute 那在存在主义的发展这个过程里面呢 And as existentialism develops 19世纪一直到20世纪 From the 19th century to the 20th century 这个真理的相对性 The truth is relative再进一步变成宇宙是没有理性的 it takes an extra step and this newer presupposition is that the universe is irrational 或者说是世界是荒谬的 that the world is absurd now 讲到宇宙是荒谬的 when we get to this point that the universe is absurd 我们就达到当代中国大陆知识分子的思潮了 we are now talking about the contemporaryMainland Chinese intellectuals trends of thought. Now, so this is a 护教的一个讲座 We are dealing with apologetics. Now, 我再解释一下这个护教的意义哈 Let me、continue with the definition of apologetics. 在神学院里面呢，某一些神学院现在已经没有护教学这一门课了。Certain seminaries have eliminated、apologetics. 剩下的是宗教的哲学 philosophy of religion is what's left 或者是宗教与哲学 or philosophy and religion 有些神学院就坦白地承认 some seminaries honestly confess 我们也没有东西要辩护 there is nothing to defend anymore 所以这些神学院的目录里面没有护教学这门课的、therefore these seminaries do not have the course apologetics in their catalog、okay. 那我们典型的基督教福音派的神学的观念 But the classic evangelical position of the church is 我们认为呢神学与护教有相互的关系 That systematic theology and apologetics has a mutual relationship one to another 什么叫系统神学呢 What is systematic theology 系统神学就是圣经对于某一个问题整本圣经的教训Systematic theology is what does the entire Bible say about a certain subject? 所以系统神学本身呢就是人怎么回应神的启示。So systematic theology is how man responds to God's revelation in the Bible. 那护教学是什么呢? What is apologetics? 护教学呢一方面我们要面对这些非基督教的宇宙人生观或者是预设。On the one hand, apologetics faces, confronts,the non-Christian presuppositions 揭露他们 expose them、同时呢把历代教会所相信的也就是系统神学应该所宣讲的 at the same time apologetics takes the historic beliefs of the church and that is what systematic theology ought to confess and proclaim 然后宣讲它在一个文化 的处境里面 and proclaim apologetics proclaims this truththat the church confesses in a particular cultural context. 那、我们中华展望正在出版几本护教的书、We are publishing several books on apologetics. 一本就是张立生博士的总体辩道学第一册的上半。The first one is a translation into English of What is Apologetics by Dr. Lisson Chang.、同时呢我们也在出版他的、Asia's Religions, Christianity's Momentous Encounter with Paganism.他的一个自己写的一本中英文的书是讲儒家、道家、佛教、禅宗、印度教与回教 it is Dr. Lisson Chang's response, critique of Confucianism, Taoism, Buddhism, Zen, Hinduism, and Islam. Now, 今天护教学对海外华人教会是一个很紧急的一个任务. Apologetics is a very urgent task of the Chinese church overseas, 海外华人教会包括亚洲的跟美洲的, the overseas Chinese church includes those in Asia and in America, North or South America. 为什么呢? Why? 因为我们今天在中国大陆有一个很特别的现象, because we are facing a very unique phenomenon. 这个现象就是在中国大陆有一批的知识分子, and the phenomenon is that in mainland China, there is a group of intellectuals. 当我们说知识分子, 是指所有有中学毕业的就是知识分子, the word intellectual means anybody who has graduated from high school. 不过特别这个知识分子里面有一群是念文科的, but particularly among these intellectuals, there's a smaller group in the humanities, 就是外语的, foreign languages, 哲学的, philosophy, 文学跟文学批判, literature and literary criticism, 艺术跟艺术批判, art and art criticism, 社会科学的, social sciences, 还有历史 and history. 那这一批的知识分子, 也就是说大学里面的讲师, these intellectuals, that is to say university professors, 还有一些国家所设立的研究所里面的研究员或者是作家, and also researchers who work in the state-run, the government-run research institutes, or authors in a writing institutes that the government operates. 在这个范围里面, within this realm, 就是说文科的教授跟作者, that is, humanities, the professors and the authors, 有一个很特别的现象, there is a unique phenomenon, 就是说呢, 他们中间有好些在推介基督教, many of them are now advocating Christianity, 他们成为基督教在中国的推介者, okay, they become promoters of Christianity in mainland China. 这些的他们所出版的书, some of the books that they are publishing, 差不多没有一本是福音派的, almost not one is what we might call evangelical. 这些书呢,他们已经出版了大概80到100本了. These books are now published, about 80 to 100 volumes of them already in China. Okay. 那他们心目中的基督教, in their mind, what is Christianity? 是一个历史文化社会上的一个制度. Christianity is a historic, cultural, and social institution. Okay. 是在时间空间里面的, 是在时间空间里面的一个团体或者一个制度. That is to say, Christianity is an organization, an institution, existing in time and space. 那这个是我们福音派基督徒常常不愿意提的一点。我们说教会是基督的身体是有机体, huh? Because we evangelicals prefer to think of the church as the body of Christ, a living organism. 我们说教会不是组织, we say the church is not an organization, 是有机体, 身体, it is an organism, not an organization. 可是呢, 这个正正是中国大陆知识分子现在对基督教的一个他们的看法. However, this is exactly how mainland Chinese intellectuals look at Christianity today. 他们看基督教是在时间空间里面的一个制度. Christianity is an institution in space and time. 好, 然后呢, 他们呢, 在推介基督教认为基督教的思想, 基督教的文化, 正是中国目前跟将来所需要的. Okay? They are advocating that Christian thought and Christian culture is exactly what China needs now and in the immediate future. 那这个呢, 就是今天主要的讲题. This is the main theme or the main thesis of our workshop this afternoon. 让我先给大家一个历史的回顾. Let me first give you a historical overview. 在中国近代史里面, in modern Chinese history, 有几段的历史, there are several historical periods. 中国的知识分子在这几个阶段里面是特别的反对攻击基督教的. During these historical periods, mainland Chinese intellectuals fiercely opposed and attacked Christianity. 第一个阶段是1862到72同治通中兴、The first period is during the 同治 Restoration 1862 to 1874. 中国刚刚输了两场的鸦片战争。China had just lost two opium wars, 1839 to 42, 1856 到60, 1856 to 60. 慈禧太后是在这个时候开始掌权。During this period from 1862, the Empress Dowager begins to really control China's court. 那这个阶段里面呢，有官方的攻击基督教。During this period, officials,Government officials oppose Christianity, 也有士大夫的、方面的反对基督教、and secondly, the gentry, the land-owning intellectual scholars、also opposed Christianity. 官方怎么反对基督教呢? How did the officials oppose Christianity? 主要都是一些的教案 This is、through mostly what is called missionary cases. 比方说、一个宣教士在地方上闯了祸、发生了问题 For example, there's a conflict on the local level that a missionary initiated 比方说他租了一个货仓 For example, the missionary rented a warehouse 但这个货仓呢是孔子的出生地 But、the warehouse was turned out to be Confucius's birthplace 那就有人会来告他们 And so a lawsuit ensued 但是那个衙门呢受上面的指示呢不能、不能怎么罚这洋人的 However,、the magistrate gets、orders from above that the foreigners are not to be prosecuted 那所以呢在官方呢这个基督教是非常、是个仇恨的对象、So for these officials,、Christianity is an object of hatred 士大夫也是如此、Gentry is the same way、在中文呢在这方面特别详细的著作是吕石强的中国官绅反教的原因、In Chinese, Li Shiqiang has written the,、one of the early definitive books on、Chinese opposition to Christianity. 英文呢是 Paul Cohen, China and Christianity.、这个 Paul Cohen 的书呢是英文方面比较、有权威的著作。士大夫呢、通常会在那些科举考试的 那个时候呢就发很多的传单、攻击基督教。The gentry might、pass out leaflets, placards,against Christianity during the civil service examination time, say in a provincial capital, 在一个省会的地方等等。好，那第二次反教呢 ？The second period of opposition to Christianity 是1915到1927 is the period from 1915 to 1927. 我们称这段时期叫做五四运动。We call this period the May 4th Movement. 我的论文呢就是讲到基督教怎么样。回应这个五四运动时期的非基督教运动。My own doctoral dissertation deals with how Christianity responded when Christianity was attacked by non-Christians. 在后面我带了一些来 ，I brought some in the back、for you to perhaps to purchase. 那在这个时期呢 ，during this period， 基督教被认为是什么呢？In the minds of the Chinese intellectuals, what is Christianity? 基督教第一是不合乎理性的。First of all, Christianity was unreasonable. 第二 ,secondly, 基督教是帝国主义的工具。Secondly, Christianity was the tool of imperialism. 那我们只要比较一下1860年代跟1920年代反教的原因，我们看见一个很有趣的改变。If we compare...How intellectuals opposed Christianity in the 1860s on the one hand and how intellectuals opposed Christianity in the 1920s on the other hand, you find a very important difference. 在1860年代 during the 1860s, 反教的本位 the point of departure of anti-Christian attack 是我们是传统中国人 we are traditional Chinese, 儒家、道家、佛教就联手了很有趣的 Very interestingly, Confucianists,Taoists and Buddhists join hands to attack the foreigner, 反对洋人。所以基督教是从一个传统中国文化的角度被攻击为一个洋教。Okay? So Christianity is attacked from the point of departure of traditional Chinese culture and Christianity's attack as a foreign religion. 可是1920年代就完全不一样 but totally different was the 1920s anti-Christian movement. 非基督教运动反对基督教的时候在1920年代反对基督教他们的本位是现代性、The point of departure of the anti-Christian movement in 1920s is modernity. 刚好跟1860是相反的 Totally different, opposite to the 1860s point of departure.因为儒家已经崩溃了 Confucianism collapsed 1905年 1905科举制度、取消了、The Confucian Civil Service Examination System was abolished 1908年慈禧太后去世 1908 The Empress Dowager died 1911年、国民革命 1911 The Overthrow of the Dynasty The Nationalist Revolution 所以在1911年之后So after the revolution of 1911, 中国知识分子在寻找一个新的一个宇宙人生观。Chinese intellectuals after 1911 were searching for a new world and life view. 所以五四运动是一个非常反传统的一个时期。So the May 4th period was an anti-traditional period of thinking. 不是说这段时期没有佛教的学者跟儒家的学者为佛教跟儒家辩护有的。This is not to say that there were no Buddhist and Confucianist scholars defending traditional Buddhism and Confucianism. There were such scholars. 可是最影响年轻人的是谁呢 But who were the most influential thinkers among young people? 陈独秀、1915年创办新青年杂志1915年9月15号、陈独秀 founded a new youth magazine September 15, 1915. 毛泽东在中学的时候也读他的、毛泽东 was among the manythousands of young people who read that magazine、Mao read it when he was in high school 那在新青年这段时期呢、从1915年一直到1927年这段时期呢、基督教是什么呢就是没有就是反理性的然后呢后来呢1920年4月号之后呢基督教是帝国主义的走狗或者是工具、Christianity was attacked as irrationalunreasonable and after 1920 the April issue Christianity became the tool of imperialism 陈独秀自己呢从1920年开始就采取一个马克思主义的立场来攻击基督教陈独秀、from 1920 on took a Marxist stance against Christianity 但是之前1919年、but before that even in 1919陈独秀的立场是很钦佩耶稣基督这个人的 but aseven as late as late 1919, Chen Duxiu admired the person, the personality of Jesus Christ. 他说、我们需要把耶稣的热血精神、灌注在中国人的血液里、He made a statement in one of his articles that、we should take the warm-spirited personhood of Jesus Christ and instill that and inject that into the bloodstream of every Chinese person. 1920年4月他就一反成为马克思主义者反对基督教。But by April 1920, he took a total turn around and became anti-Christian because he by then was totally convinced of Marxism. 那所以反对基督教从1922到1927呢有几个阶段。There were several stages of the anti-Christian movement. 第一个阶段是1922年 the first stage in 1922. 第二个阶段是1924年到25年 the second stage in 1924 to 1925.第三个阶段是5月30号1925年 The third stage was May 30th, 1925第四个阶段是北伐时期1926到27年 The fourth period is 1926 July through April 1927 The Northern Expedition 第一个阶段很短的是1922年 的春天4月跟5月 The first period was very short Just April and May 1922那当时只是一些宣言的发表 just some manifestos were published 但是这些宣言很重要 but these manifestos are very important 因为第一次公开的基督教被打成帝国主义侵略的工具、是那个时候、because for the first time you have a public demonstration and public manifesto declaring Christianity to be the tool of imperialism 1922年4月跟5月 April and May 1922这一次的非基督教运动 The anti-Christian movement during this time、他们叫做、非基督教学生大同盟、 they call themselves the Anti-Christian Student Federation. 背后是社会主义青年团, behind that was the Socialist Youth Corps, 也就是1921年7月份成立的中国共产党的青年部, that is to say, the Youth Department of the Chinese Communist Party, which was formed just 9 months earlier than that, and in July 1921. 好，这个非基督教运动呢, 到了1924年呢, 就比较成熟了。 The second period, 1924, the anti-Christian movement became a lot more mature. 反对基督教的就用了国民党的机关报的礼拜天的那个副刊 The anti-Christian intellectuals used the Sunday literary supplement of the Kuomintang Nationalist Party newspaper 在那里大量的攻击基督教 And they used those pages to attack Christianity 这段时期有很多学潮 And there were many anti-Christian demonstrations and storms during that time 1925年5月30号 May 30th, 1925 是一次的530惨案啊, the May 30th incident 就是说所有的学潮到了5月30号1925年就达到一个高潮 all the student protests reached a climax on May 30th, 1925 那孙中山先生呢是1925年3月12号去世的 Sun Yat-sen died on March 12th, 1925 就是这个530惨案之前 only 2 months or so before the May 30th incident 所以过了530惨案之后呢 蒋介石很快就掌握到这国民党的这个领导 So very soon after the May 30th incident Chiang Kai-shek gained the leadership of the Kuomintang, the Nationalist Party 那1926到27呢 就是蒋介石北伐的这段时期 In 1926 July through 1927 April Chiang Kai-shek marched north 在这段时期呢 反对基督教呢 是在国民军前面 去攻击那些宣教士礼拜堂跟基督徒 And the anti-Christians would be ahead, running, marching ahead of the KMT Nationalist Party troops and destroying mission property, injuring, maybe killing missionaries and Chinese Christians 那这个是五四运动的 This is during the May 4th movement, 非基督教运动 反对基督教运动, the anti-Christian movement 那我把这两段讲得比较详细一点 I gave you a detailed portrait of these two anti-Christian movements 要告诉大家 to let you see 在整个中国近代史里面 to show you a perspective to see that in modern Chinese history 最近有两次的中国知识分子归主运动呢是多么的不寻常 to show you how unusual it is that we have had just two Chinese intellectuals Christian movements 第一次呢我们可以说是1960跟70年代海外的 台港的学生 You can say one would be the 1960s and 1970s students from Taiwan and Hong Kong in North America 组织查经班 forming their own Bible study groups 第二次呢 the second 就是1980开始到现在的中国大陆知识分子了 the second wave of openness would be mainland Chinese intellectuals since 1980 till now the year 2000 不光是在中国大陆也在海外 not only in mainland China but also overseas 当然我们也不能忽略到抗战时期跟胜利之后 of course we must not neglect during the war 1937 to 45 and the civil war that followed 1945 to 49 中国有很多大学生信主献身的 there were many many Chinese students who became Christians and dedicated their lives to serve the Lord 可是整个我想你把那个加起来就有三个 if you take that into consideration you can see there are three movements of Chinese intellectuals turning to Christianity 中国知识分子归向基督 那前两个 就是1940年代跟60年代的 The previous two movements 1940s and 1960s 中国是很多大学生信主献身的 Yes, many Chinese students and became Christians and dedicated their lives to serve the Lord 可是呢 1980之后的那个是有个很独特的现象 However, the movement after 1980 has some very unique characteristics. 其中一个现象, one of the most unique phenomena, 就是说大陆的知识分子开始提倡基督教是21世纪将来中国文化里面应该有的要素之一. That is to say, mainland Chinese intellectuals now advocate that Christianity should become an ingredient in the Chinese culture of the future 那这个是非常的 特别的 This is very, very unique 是以前没有的、We haven't seen this before、我们在座的很多都是60、70年代那个运动的果子、Some of us are the fruits of the 1960s and 70s student movements 香港、台湾、东南亚跟北美、In Taiwan, Hong Kong, Asia or North America 那我们接受的是一个金钱主义的传统What we have received is a pietist tradition. 什么叫金钱主义呢 What is pietism? 啊，金钱主义啊，金钱主义呢，第一是反知识的 ，it's anti-intellectual. 啊，理性呢是属魂的啊，这个 the mind is soulish 是次等的。第二是反啊、文化的 anti-cultural. 第三是反组织的 anti-organizational. 第四是反都市的 anti-urban. 啊。那还有呢就是是个别的 individualistic 可是呢我们现在面对中国大陆知识分子这个挑战呢 but as we now face the challenge of mainland Chinese intellectuals 他们要求的是什么呢 what are they demanding 他们至少在慕道的初步所要求的 as they begin their search for the gospel 他们要求的是基督教能为中国做什么What they want to know is what Christianity can do for China. 政治、社会、经济、教育、文化等等。What can Christianity do for China's political, social, economic, cultural, and educational problems? 那所以我们现在面临的海外华人教面临的是空前的一个挑战。So I would like to propose that the overseas Chinese church face a totally unprecedented challenge. 所以以前没有的。Totally different in dimension and scope from before. 所以我们海外华人教会呢还没有装备好来面对这个挑战。So the Chinese church is not prepared to face this challenge. 我再说我们现在讨论的不是如何向大陆学者传福音。Let me repeat, we're not discussing whether or not we are effective in doing personal evangelism to mainland Chinese students and scholars. 他们大量的在信主，这个是没错。They are turning to Christ in large numbers. That is true. 在中国大陆现在除了家庭教会跟三自教会以外 in mainland China today, in addition to the house churches and the three self-movement churches, 现在有很多的查经班兴起了。There are many Bible study groups that have now arisen. 很多是老外的外语老师留下来的，种下来的。Some of these groups were planted by foreign teachers of foreign languages or Christians in China.现在他们中间除了学生以外 in their midst now in addition to students 还有专业人士 their professionals 还有教授们 and professors 所以他们跟传统的家庭教会有一点点的区别 there's a significant difference between them and the house churches 也可以说家庭教会也在变形、and you might say that the house church itself is being transformed我所接触过的参加神学训练课程的家庭教会领袖很多都是30多岁40岁的、I have met many house church leaders who have attended theological training courses in the 30s and 40s and 所以他们所要求的可能是、一个整体的刚才讲过那个宇宙人生观、What they're looking for is a world and life view 好这个整个呢是一个历史的回顾So I've given you a historical background. 现在接下来呢要讲的是、最近这24年、中国知识分子怎么样的、怎么样的接纳推介基督教思想跟文化。Now let us go into the、period of the last 24 years, 1976 to 2000, how mainland Chinese intellectuals have absorbed in their own way.And promoted Christianity.
近代的这个阶段呢，是1976年开始啊。Our contemporary period begins with 1976, 毛泽东去世啊、，the death of Mao Zedong.
那我们要讲一点点的背景啊。We need a little background here. 在1950到52 between the years 1950 and 1952, 我们就用哲学这一门。学这门功课来做个例子 Let us just take philosophy as an example 中国的大学里面 of all the universities in China, 1950-52年, between the years 1950 and 1952, 中国大学里面的哲学系都关门，剩下一家，就是北京大学。Okay, all the philosophy departments were closed except one university, and that's Beijing National University. 那所以呢，这个哲学或者说是形而上学 philosophy or metaphysics 就等于是马克思主义 is now equated the same thing as Marxism. 好了。那个不表示说中国知识分子没有在研究哲学哈。It doesn't mean that all these years Chinese intellectuals didn't study philosophy. 很多都是透过外语 ，they did so through foreign languages, 文学、比较文学 ，comparative literature, 社会科学 ，social sciences 等等 ，etc. 好了，毛泽东死了之后呢 ？After the death of Mao Zedong, 在1978-79有一段很重要的时间。A very important period is the years 1978 to 79. Okay? 在这段时期呢，很多的一门一门科的学者知识分子呢召开了全国性的会议。Okay? Intellectuals from the various disciplines convened nationwide conferences. 基本上呢，他们在这段时期呢否定了马克思主义对他们那一门学科的垄断的控制。Okay? Basically what they did during this period was they negated, they turned, they overturned Marxism's monopoly and control over their discipline. 刚才我们讲了宇宙人生观跟预设we talked about world and life view and presuppositions just now. 那他们就是等于在那个时候呢就是推翻了他们以前一直领受的那一套的预设 Basically during these conferences they overturned, they rejected the Marxist presuppositions for their own field 无论是哲学、文学、社会科学、历史还有外语 So in these disciplines, philosophy, literature, art, languages, foreign languages, history and social sciences那在这个拒绝了这种的形而上学的控制之后 After this rejection of metaphysics 那我顺便介绍两个字哈 Let me just explain two terms here 当一些的文科的大陆知识分子谈到形而上学的时候 When the mainland Chinese intellectuals in the humanities mentionsMetaphysics 这个通常他们都不喜欢的 Usually don't like the term 都是说要推翻的Something they want to reject 可是呢讲到本体论的时候呢 But the other word is ontology 是好的 It's a good term 意思就是说等一下我会解释他们怎么用这两个字I'll explain how they use these two terms 意思就是说中国知识分子并没有停止追求宇宙里面的绝对Chinese intellectuals never stopped searching for the absolute in the universe. 只不过是他们不愿意跟随这个形而上学，也就是马克思主义的方法，来找到宇宙里面的绝对或者是本体。It's just that they do not want to follow the Marxist or the metaphysical way to arrive at the absolute or the ontos or the being in the universe.这是很有趣的一件事情 It's a very interesting phenomenon 在去年我带了一位这个文艺方面的知识分子去访问加州的西敏寺神学院的教授们 I took a leading mainland Chinese intellectual in the field of literature to visit the faculty of Westminster Theological Seminary in California in San Diego County 那我们要花了一段的时间大家才明白we spent quite a few minutes before everybody understood 形而上学是不好的本体论是好的 okay? Before the faculty understood these Americans understood that metaphysics is bad ontology is good 好、那这些的会议开了之后呢 after these meetings were convened in 1978 在80年代 during the 1980s 中国知识分子有不少纷纷是向外看 the Chinese intellectuals start looking outward. 所以有好几套的丛书在那个时候出版。So many series of books were published in the 1980s. 我就举一件事情let me just talk about one thing. 就是说美学 and that is aesthetics. Aesthetics, 美学。在西方的哲学呢美学是一个很少人注意的一门的学问。我去书店找美学的书很难找的。We may know that aesthetics is one division of philosophy that is pretty much neglected by Western, especially American philosophers. Very hard to buy solid books on aesthetics in a bookstore today. 可是呢在80年代在中国 but in the China in the 1980s, 文学的老师 literature professors, 跟美术艺术的老师 and art professors, 他们在做什么事情呢 what are they doing?他们拒绝了形而上学 After they rejected metaphysics 他们在寻找美的本体 They were looking for the ontos or the ontological in aesthetics or the absolute beauty 就是绝对的美美感那我想这个也是他们一个很方便的做法 Perhaps this was a convenient way for them因为他们没有去碰哲学传统的一两门的学问 because they avoided two traditional divisions of philosophy 一个就是本体学 one is metaphysics or ontology 在我们西方这两个字是同义词哈metaphysics and ontology is synonymous really in the west 本体第二呢他们呢是避开了知识论and secondly, they avoided epistemology, 知识论 Now, epistemology is the study of how do I know that I know what I know. Okay, 知识论就是我怎么知道我所知道的是应该是真的知道的是真理哈。那本体论就是宇宙里面绝对的那个神或者是绝对是什么Ontology, on the other hand, is the study of the absolute truth or absolute being or God. 那这些的美术跟文学的老师 these art and literature professors 花了很多很多的精力 They spent a lot of energy, okay, 去研究美学 and they studied aesthetics. 那他们所推崇的美学是有特别几派的 okay.The aesthetics that they promoted was of particular schools of philosophy. 第一，他们所推介的是罗曼蒂克的浪漫主义的美学。First of all, they really looked up to German romantic aesthetics. Romantic aesthetics. 因为他们在寻找的是一个心灵的栖居。What they were looking for was a dwelling place for the soul. 用我的话来讲 in my own words, 我会这样说 I would say it this way. 在从文化革命的恐怖出来 as they came out of the horrors of the Cultural Revolution, 用我的话说 these are my vocabulary, my words. 他们在寻找人的灵魂的释放 They were looking for the emancipation of the human spirit 所以你看大陆知识分子呢他们一讲到人文主义跟自由 So when mainland Chinese intellectuals talk about the words humanism and freedom 他们都是很正面的向往的肯定的追求的for them humanismAnd freedom are good words. They search for them, they promote them, they affirm them. Okay? 所以他们在追寻这个灵魂在恐怖之下出来了那去哪里居住呢So their concern is, as the soul comes out of this dark horror, where is the new dwelling place of the soul? 所以他们就很被浪漫主义吸引 So they were very much... attracted by romanticism. 那我对文学是不懂的 I don't understand literature. 我呢就是
不过对音乐有一点点的兴趣。I'm interested in music. 我后面有一个钢琴的讲座录像带，你们可以去参考把这个整个西方文化与音乐跟哲学神学融合在一起介绍。I have a music videotape in the back there introducing the history of Western culture using music, philosophy, and theology. 所以在音乐里面的浪漫主义 ,in music, what is romanticism? 浪漫主义的定义可以这样说 ,romanticism might be defined this way, 美 ,beauty, 美在哪里呢 ?Where is beauty? 美是在那个很遥远的地方跟很古旧的时间。这个 beauty is in the very far away and the very long ago. Okay, 摸不到的 ,can't touch it, 不能用理性去分析的 ,not to be dissected, analyzed by reason. 好，浪漫主义。第二 ,secondly, 他们除了被浪漫主义吸引以外 ,in addition to romanticism, 他们被存在主义紧紧的吸引。They were really captured by, grabbed by existentialism, 这个存在主义。我举一个例子 ,let me give you an example. 刘晓峰就是这些文化基督徒的表者。刘晓峰 is the representative of all of these people. 他在读书杂志1988年到90年发表了一系列的文章。He published a series of articles in 读书 Reading magazine 1988 to 1990, 在介绍西方的思想思想家 introducing Western thinkers to China. 那他把这系列的文章都收成一本书了。These articles have been compiled into a book 叫做走向十字架的真The Truth That Is Running Toward the Cross. 在香港的版本叫做走向十字架的真理在中国的版本叫走向十字架的真 The book has a slightly different title in its Hong Kong edition, but it means the same thing. The Truth文化基督徒，我现在就解释他是不是基督徒。他就是这种的文艺学者从马克思主义出来。Okay, 那我现在给你一个第一章的一个介绍。Let me introduce you to Chapter One. 他介绍一个俄国的文学哲学家。He introduced a Russian writer 叫做 Shestov. Shestov 是他的笔名他自己的真名很长的。This is just a pen name. The real name is much longer. 他就介绍了一篇的短短的小说叫做《墙》。He introduced a little novel story called The Wall. 他的意思是什么呢？说我在黑夜里 ，I am in the darkness， 就用我的头去碰这道墙。And I bang my head against the wall, the darkness, the abyss, 人生的深渊但那这个碰到头都流血了I bang my head against the wall until my forehead bleeds. 可是呢，我还是要碰 ，but I will continue to bang my head against the wall, 因为这样子做比不做好。Because it is better to do this than not to do it. 因为不做的话，根本不晓得人生的意义是什么。Because if you don't do it, you don't know the meaning of life. 你这样做的时候，你知道人生的意义是什么。As you do it, then you know the meaning of life. 人生的意义就是没有意义。Okay? And the meaning of life is that life is absurd. 宇宙是荒谬的。Okay? 那这个就很像齐克果的一些的哲学Very similar to Kierkegaard's philosophy. 可是很有趣的，就是中国的知识分子，他们很愿意找俄国的跟东欧的一些的哲学跟文学家当然他们也包括了西欧的一些我们很熟悉的一些的思想家，他们也介绍The interesting thing is that Chinese intellectuals in mainland China were attracted not only to the Western European American philosophers that we are more familiar with, but rather also to the Russian and the East European thinkers. Okay, 好，我再说一遍Let me repeat. 从我的角度来看 ,from my perspective,1976之后 ,after 1976, 进入到80年代 ,into 1980s, 经过了这个7879这些会议 ,after these meetings of 1978-79, 他们开始向外看 ,they look outward, 所以呢有一些的书丛丛书的名字,some of these book series 叫做中国与世界 ,China and the World, 或者面向世界 ,as we face the world, 这种的丛书一套一套的在80年代的时候出版了当然也有一些维护传统儒家思想也有的There were also those defending or promoting traditional Confucian thought. There were some of those. 但是大量的、大部分的是向外 现代西方，就很像五四运动，从这个角度来看啊。But the majority of these book series were pro-Western, in that sense, very similar to the May 4th movement. 在五四运动1915到1919年 during the May 4th movement from 1915 to 1919, 所有中国东西都是不好的，西方是好的，旧的不好的，新的好的。Okay? Everything Western was good, everything Chinese was bad, everything new was good, everything old was bad, 除了基督教以外 except Christianity. 耶稣是好的，基督教是坏的、Jesus is good, Christianity is bad. 那是五四运动他们那个时候的那个世界观。那八零年代呢，他们也是朝着现代，朝着西方去找。你可以说五四运动跟八零年代这两次呢有一点的相同点、you might say that the May 4th movement and the 1980s share one thing in common. 好像中国要、一夜之间呢要经历了 It's almost like China must experience, just overnight experience, 文艺复兴 the Renaissance, 宗教改革 the Reformation, rationalism and empiricism, 理性主义经验主义 Kant, Hegel, Marx, 康德黑格尔马克思 19th century 十九世纪还有二十世纪 and 20th century all in 10 years 十年里面要把整个西方消化吸收推介出来、understand it absorb it promote it to Chinese students、所以这个是八零年代的情况 this is, was the 1980s phenomenon、我们也把这个现象呢在一本新的书里面介绍、we are introducing this whole phenomenon in one of the chapters in our new book which is coming out next week 这个下礼拜就印出来了 Chinese Lectures in the Gospel、中国知识分子 与福音有两个 chapter 专门讲这个的、there are two chapters in English that particularly deals with this 我再说一遍他们是文学跟艺术的 they are literature and art students 所以他们避开了哲学 so they are not in the philosophy department 可是他们在做的都是哲学的东西But they were engaged in philosophy 100%. 很有趣的，中国今天的哲学家都不一定在哲学系啊。The most creative philosophers in mainland China today may not be in the philosophy department. A lot of them are in the literature department and the art departments of universities. 但是他们在找的是绝对 ，but they were looking for the absolute.但是他们找到的是浪漫主义跟存在主义 But what they have found is romanticism and existentialism 好我们现在把它停在那里一下子哈 Let's just stop for one minute 现在我们要转移、我们的注意看另外一件事情 Now let us take a look at something else 还没有讲完他们的神学的思想以前 Before we go into the theology 我们要看另外一个事实就是海外华人教会有什么资本来回应这种的绝对的追寻呢 The question is what assets or capital does the overseas Chinese church have to respond to this search for the absolute 华人教会的神学教育1972年是72到75是一个分水线、或者1971、72到75 From 1971 to 1975, this marks a turning point, a watershed in the history of Chinese theological education. 赵天恩牧师在香港召开了第一届的华人神学教育推进会议。Jonathan Chow convened in Hong Kong the first consultation on Chinese theological education in Hong Kong 1971 and 1975中神在香港、创办、这个 开校 The China Graduate School Theology opened in Hong Kong 1975 华神1970在台北、开校 China Evangelical Seminary was founded in Taipei in 1970 那所以这五年来呢还有就是说很多的台港的神学院在这五年之内呢很多西教士的院长跟、董事会都把学校交给华人管理、And during this period also、Western missionaries began to turn over entire seminaries presidencies over to Chinese leadership 耿敬辉牧师巴慧元牧师这些都是很典型的一些华人本事的领袖、During this time Philip Teng and John Pao were some of the leading、typical leaders that took over some of these seminaries 那 刚才我们说过，传统的华人教会是近前主义派的。Earlier we said that the Chinese church traditionally were pietistic, 反知识、反传统啊，不是反知识、反文化、反都市，啊，they 啊反组织啊反理性啊 ，they were anti-intellectual, anti-cultural, anti-urban, and anti-cultural and anti-organizational. 好了，在这段时期呢 ，during this time， 有一个很重要的事情开始发生。A very important trend began during this time. 那今天我们在2000年啊 ，30 years later now, as we stand in the year 2000, 我们在接收这个趋向的一个果子。We are now reaping the fruit of this trend. 还没有讲这个趋向之前呢 ，before I go into this trend， 啊，我在华福的 Chinese Around the World 啊英文杂志里面呢。去年跟今年正在发表六篇文章，叫做 "What Traveled from East from West to East"、I'm writing a series of six articles analyzing trends in the Chinese Church in Kowei's magazine Chinese Around the World,、January 1999, May 1999, September 1999, January 2000, May 2000, September 2000, and the title is "What Traveled from West to East"。我在九月份要写那一篇呢，是 "Authority of the Expert"、is the theme of the last article。五月号要出来的那篇呢是功利主义。The title of the May 2000 article is called Pragmatism， 就是我们不要管真理是什么呢，我们就是 get the job done， 就把福音广传就好了啊，很功利主义的。That is, let's not worry about the truth, let's just go spread the gospel。好，这个趋向是什么？哈，70年代开始的趋向。What is that trend that began to really develop in the 1970s？ 就是华人青年 ，that is to say Chinese Christian young adults， 知道华人教会很需要要有神学训练的人才。They knew that they needed、the Chinese church needed good theological teachers。他们一般都在正统的福音派的神学院毕业。They usually graduated from Orthodox Bible believing seminaries。那之后呢，就去。分头的去念他们的博士学位 ，then they began to go and receive their PhD training from different sources. 就业的有的去犹太人的学校 ，some went to Jewish graduate schools for the PhD in Old Testament, Boston, Cincinnati, and different places, Jerusalem, Israel. 有些是在美国最著名的大学的宗教系或者是神学院啊、some went to the leading universities in America in their either seminary or departments of religion. 不少的去了英国跟欧洲 Quite a few went to England, the British Isles and Germany. 结果是什么呢 What happens as a result of that?、结果是今天在中国的对不起今天在海外的华人神学界里面 The result is that in theological circles in the overseas Chinese church 下面几个神学的思潮呢成为主流The following theological trends became the mainstream of evangelical theology. Okay, 那我再说一次哈，因为这些留学海外的博士们把他们所学到的不批判的、不经过批判的带进华人教会的神学院 ，because these people who studied abroad brought back their doctoral studies without critique into the Chinese church and seminaries. 下面的一些的思想呢？就成为华人教会今天的神学主流。The following concepts have now become the accepted mainstream ideas in Chinese seminaries. 第一，存在主义。Number one, existentialism. Okay, 当然我们是讲的不是一定是齐克果的存在主义。Not necessarily the existentialism of Kierkegaard. 是巴特跟 Brunner 的存在主义啊。But the existentialism of Karl Barth and Emil Brunner. 就是说呢什么叫做是神的话 What is the word of God? 神的话是不可能被系统化的 The word of God cannot be systematized. 神的话不可能用命题来描述的 The word of God cannot possibly be described or defined in propositional terms.今天你只要翻开一些香港出版的最有名的华人我们的同道神学教授出版的书里面他们都在讲这些东西啊。If you now open up some of the contemporary theological books published in Hong Kong by some of my good friends in theological teaching, this is exactly what they are saying. 系统神学一 Systematic Theology 1，就是第一年第一学期的神学课。Systematic Theology 1 the first semester, first year of seminary studies. 教授在教什么呢？ What does the professor teach? Now, 我也在教系统神学一哈 and I'm also teaching Systematic Theology 1. 我现在在网上啊，假如不是第一个，也是第一个之一啊，用中文在网上教神学哈、啊。I may not be the first, but certainly one of the first to teach systematic theology in Chinese online right now. 那我的第一课是什么 ？What is my first lesson one? 第一课就是我们信的是什么 ？What do we believe? 福音派基督徒 as evangelical Christians. 可是今天很多的神学一第一课不是这样教的 ，but many lesson one in systematic theology one is not taught that way.叫什么呢 What do they teach?
做现代人的痛苦
The agony of being a modern person 那 我不是夸张的哈真的是这样叫的啊。I'm not exaggerating This is exactly how some seminaries are teaching their very lesson one in systematic theology Existentialism、啊、存在主义第二 Deconstructionism
解构主义
OK， 什么叫解构主义 ？What is existentialism？ 解构主义就是字是没有意义的 ，words have no meaning。一个文本的意义 ，the meaning of a text， 啊、不在里面，就是说 ，it's not in the text。在我没有去读、没有去解释之前 ，before I read and interpret the text。这个文本是没有意义的 There is no meaning there 所以意思就是随意我们怎么解释 In other words, it's all up to our interpretation 这种的解构主义带到圣经的研究里面 When deconstruction is taken into hermeneutics the interpretation of the Bible 我们发现现在华文的神学期刊里面对于圣经的解释那些文章里面已经好些是没有经过批判用了解构主义来解释圣经的在华文的神学期刊里面看得清清楚楚的 OK You can now see very clearly if you open up the Chinese language theological journals OK These articles on Bible interpretation are now immersed in deconstructionism 第三 Accommodation Accommodation 中文怎么翻译 Accommodationism
适应
啊，
适应，
适应，啊，适应主义啊，啊，怎么说呢 ？What do we mean by that？ 就是说，中国文化本身就是神的启示 ，The Chinese culture is God's revelation。比方说，啊，《道德经》里面有弥赛亚的一个 figure 啊，一个人物 ，In the 道德经 is a Messiah figure。那这种的思想哪里来的呢 ？Where do these ideas come from？ 就是从没有经过圣经改变我们的思想。It comes because we are not totally transformed by the Bible in our thoughts after we become a Christian。同一个作者在另外一本书这样说的 ，The same author who said that there is a Messiah figure in the 道德经 said this in another book that he wrote, page one。他说我37岁反依上帝 I believed in God when I was 37 years old 这个信仰呢在历史的领域一如在自然界并没有给我输入或添加什么深不可测的原理它只是向我展现了原心熟视无睹视而不见的一些浅显的事实 OK NowAfter I became a Christian, this new faith did not give me or add any new profound principle, not in history, not in natural sciences. It only displayed for me what was previously familiar, obvious, just that I didn't see, some very superficial and simple facts. Okay?就是说呢这个神的启示呢并没有给他加添他原来的知识在宇宙人生观里面 So God's revelation did not add anything to his original knowledge 但是同时呢神的启示呢也有、呃、也也成、呃、对不起 同时中国的思想里面又是神的启示。 But at the same time Chinese thought is God's revelation。 那顺便这里提一提啊，这个文化是人对神自然启示的回应，而不是神自然启示本身。 Culture is man's responseto God's general revelation in nature. It is not God's revelation. 我们在这一点让步了，下面呢就垮了。Okay? If you give in at this point, the whole system collapses. 所以今天有些传道人很有好意的善意的说，所有的真理都是神的真理啊。So some preachers in a very well-intentioned way say that all truth is God's truth. 是的，所有神所启示的真理是真理，但不是所有自称真理都是神所启示的真理。 Okay? Yes, all truth that God revealed is truth, but not all truth that claims to be truth is revealed by God. 好，那这个就是海外华人教会神学的最新的趋向。 This is the newest trends in Chinese theology. 好了，那现在我们再回到那个中国知识分子的思想的挑战。 Now let us go back and end withthe theological dimension of mainland Chinese intellectuals thinking today. 我们又回到刘晓峰。 Okay, we go back to 刘晓峰。他今天是香港的汉语以前叫做神学研究所，现在叫做汉语基督教与文化研究所。His organization is called ISCS, Institute of Sino-Christian Studies. 那刘晓峰从美术的研究已经走出了下一步，也走到第三步了。刘晓峰's career has gone from the first stage to the second stage. 第二个阶段呢，是他要把历代的基督教的名著翻成中文。His second stage in his career has the great ambitious goal of translating all the major Christian classics into Chinese. 包括巴特的罗马书释义， including the Epistle to the Romans, written by Karl Barth, published in 1919. 那这个刚才我就说过呢，就是说这个存在主义带到神学里面，巴特是这本书是第一炮的啊。The Epistle to the Romans was the first instance in which existentialism affected theology in through the pens of Karl Barth. 是这样说的，神的话是超理性的， God's word is super rational, 好像火山爆发一样， just like a volcano erupting, 你照相都来不及的， you cannot take a picture of it with a camera.可是火山爆发之后， but after the volcano erupted, 然后呢，圣经是人写的啊，就像那个火山。 The Bible then is like the lava on the crater. That's the Bible, 是人写的， written by man, 有错的啊， full of mistakes. 可是当你读圣经的时候， but when you read the Bible, 神又可以再给你一次的这种的存在的相遇啊，或者永恒进入时间的相遇，神人相遇。 When you read the BibleGod might zap you again with an existential encounter, God-man encounter, eternal encounter. 那圣经那一刹那呢，就成为神的话。At that point, the Bible becomes the Word of God. 在香港有一个很前卫的基督教出版社。There is an avant-garde, very forward-looking Christian publisher in Hong Kong. 在出版一个很有分量的鼓励基督徒读书的一份的杂志。And they are now publishing a mini magazine, very solid in content, encouraging Christians to read good books. Okay, 第一期 first issue, 第一篇文章 the first article written by 是一个信义中神学院的一个福音派出身的一个神学教授写的， written by a Lutheran seminary professor today with very conservative evangelical roots in his past. 他完全的用巴特的这个神的话语观呢，来形容神的话。 Okay, and you see a thoroughly Barthian view of scripture in his description of God's word and our word. And 这个也不是唯一的例子， this is not an isolated incident. 好，那所以在这个中国知识分子里面呢，现在呢，存在主义、新正统，还有很多的现代神学思潮呢，都成为主流了。 Okay, 所以今天的福音派是什么东西呢？是一个谜。Okay, so these trends in modern theology have become the mainstream of what seminary professors teach their Chinese students. What is evangelicalism anymore is now a riddle, a question that remains to be answered. 美国华夫在今年跟明年发起了一个归回圣经运动。COVID USA has started a Back to the Bible movement. 我们把 1978年所出版的基督芝加哥圣经无误宣言重新翻成中文。We have retranslated the Chicago Statement on Biblical Inerrancy, 1978, into Chinese. 我们呼吁华人教回到相信圣经神所默示的无误的，而是最高唯一的权威。We are calling the Chinese church to return to the belief that God, the Bible is inspired, inerrant, and the only and highest authority in all matters in which it affirms. 无论是属灵的事情，还有历史科学的，都是无误的。Okay? Inerrant in all that affirms in matter of faith, life, history,and science. 面对这个大陆学者的理性挑战，假如不是从一个正统的神学基础呢，我们只是在一个游戏场里面对话。 Without a orthodox biblical doctrinal foundation, as you face the mainland Chinese challenge, which is a great challenge, all we're doing is playing games in a playground. 那我们看到今天很多海外的基督徒跟中国大陆的学者他们所开的神学会议的他们的讨论的那种的风气语调与出版的论文集呢正是如此。 If you go to these theological conferences that are increasingly being held in which mainland Chinese and Hong Kong, Taiwan, overseas Chinese theologians are now dialoguing and read their compendium, you find that exactly that's what's happening, they're playing games. 他们在好像玩游戏一样的宗教的对话 religious dialogue 这个什么叫对话 what is dialogue 就是我们都不晓得真理是什么我们都在追寻真理他们很认真这样讲的哈they are very seriously saying what is dialogue we are all searching for the truth 所以护教学是华人教会很需要再重新发起的也是我们的事工的一个负担 so apologetics is an urgent task that the Chinese church must re-engage herself in and that by the way is alsoThe very vision and mission of our ministry. 有没有什么问题？ Any questions? 时间到，要离开的可以。